We'll continue on with, I'll be finishing up Brother Robert's lesson that he had started. But for those of you with the workbooks, is there any blanks that you missed last week? Or any, just want to make sure everybody's got it before we move on. For those of you taking notes and doing workbooks, any questions or comments, any blanks that need to be filled in? I think we made it through the first module or the first section about prayer. So my book's slightly different from the student book, but those of you with a student book, just let me know if there's something missing real quick. Or if you could, somebody could tell me, what's the last blank y'all have filled in? The last one on prayer? All right. Is that pretty much where everybody's at? I'll take that as a yes. Take that as a yes. All right. And we are recording these, so if you miss one or you want to go back and listen to it, you can find them on Apple Music, Spotify, pretty much any music app. Just search Abundant Life Church and it'll pop up on there. And if you can't find it that way, I can get them to you somehow if you really want to listen to the audio again. We're going to be starting two passages of scripture here. Somebody will go ahead and look those up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, and James chapter 1, 21 through 25. And I'll apologize, but I'm eating cough drops like crazy tonight, trying to keep my voice going. Seems like everybody's been dealing with the sickness. I thought I was good Sunday, and then we got home Sunday evening, and the stomach virus hit. So it's been one thing after another, but we are here. We are making it. So we're going to start, we'll get to the scriptures in a minute, but we're going to start with spending time daily in God's word. God communicates to us through his word. For this reason, we should read the Bible with anticipation of hearing from God. When fully nourished by the word, we stand strong in times of temptation, and we will find ourselves on a pathway of spiritual growth. So if somebody will read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 for me. Yes, sir. Right. And James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Somebody wants to read those. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. All right, so question number one, what are some of the purposes God intends for Scripture? Or what are some things that God intends Scripture to do in our life? Learn more about God? Is that correction? So teaching, correction, training, instruction, reproof. Was that one? Doctrine, direction. I will say it never fails. It seems like when I am going through something or I need to make a decision, somehow that always comes up in my Bible reading. Anybody ever had that? You've been searching for an answer, and then you open up your daily devotion or something. It's like, wow, there's my answer right there. Second question, how does Scripture help us become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Yes. Disciple. So yes, discipline. And if you want to learn about something, you go right to the source. If you want to know more about God, you want to truly be a disciple of Jesus, what better place to start than the Bible? All right. Question three, how should we receive the word of God? Meekness, humility. We have to allow the word of God to change us. We have to approach the word of God of I'm not looking to inflect my opinions on Scripture. I want Scripture to change my way of thinking. I want Scripture to influence the way that my life is. Sometimes people are guilty of, we like to go try to find the Scriptures to prove our point. We're going to try to find what we want. We want Scripture to say what we want it to say. When in reality, we need to approach Scripture reading with, change me, reveal to me God's will. And lastly, question number four, what is promised to doers of the Word of God? From James 1 and 25, we will be blessed. I don't think blessed is just means that from a monetary standpoint, but I think blessed as in our entire life, God's going to take care of us. When we obey the Word of God, God holds up His end of the bargain and takes care of us. All right, we believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and that is the basis or the foundation of all of our beliefs. Anytime I've ever had a question or a Bible study or anything, somebody asks you a question at work, on your lunch break or whatever, anything about Christianity, the Bible, religion, I always say, let's just go back to what the Bible says. That's the best way to answer those questions. Let's go back and see what Scripture says. Don't take my word for it. Don't take my opinion for it. Let's go to the source. So we believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Just as it takes time to feed our physical bodies, we must also feed our spiritual bodies. We cannot feed our physical bodies junk food and expect premium health. And likewise, we cannot expect the same spiritually. If we are not feeding ourselves with God's Word, we cannot expect to have a healthy spiritual relationship with God. It also takes time to gain knowledge of the Bible. I think sometimes people, you know, when they come to Christ and they're excited, they've just gotten the Holy Ghost, they've been baptized, they're, you know, born again, they're excited about this, and they want to know everything. But really, learning through Scripture is really a lifetime commitment. I don't know in all of my year, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible through. I've not kept track with how many times. But I know that every time I read it through, no matter how many times I've read a certain passage, I seem to always learn something new. I seem to always encounter something else that I didn't realize before. And the only way that happens is you just got to put the time in. The only way you gain knowledge is just by reading it, studying it. Yes. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. You never graduate. We are constantly learning. I believe it's a lifetime of learning from Scripture. I've even heard preachers, you know, I'm talking people that have been in the church 50, 60, 70 years, talking about they read the Word of God and learn something new. So I don't think we should ever have that attitude of, well, I've got all the knowledge I need. There's really no point in it. We should always be studying God's Word. And Scripture will reveal change that you need to make in your life. Scripture, if you're reading Scripture and truly studying Scripture, it will convict you. I know that a lot of times we hear good preaching on Sundays and we talk about, you know, conviction, or we feel a spirit of conviction, things like that. But I tell you what, I've had conviction in my living room, sipping on my coffee, reading the Bible. And you read something, you go, wow, I really need to work on that. That really spoke to me. And so if we're not getting that, then I don't believe that we're reading Scripture correctly. And it's not just something that we do so we can check off our little chart and say we read today. I think Scripture, truly reading Scripture, is we're looking to gain something from it. We're looking to gain knowledge. It's not just a check mark that I can say, well, I read my Bible today, I'm good to go. So this leads me to meditating daily on God's Word. Meditation is something that is misunderstood in our culture because we think of, when somebody talks about meditation, we think of the Eastern culture meditation. You know, lighting candles and incense and sitting cross-legged and humming and clearing our minds and all that. But that's not really what meditation is. That is a form of meditation for those religions. But if you go to the definition of meditation, it's really you're just intensely focused on something. And so I believe it's important that we intensely concentrate on the Word of God. When I am doing my Bible study, when I am studying Scripture, I like to put distractions off. Turn my phone on silent or turn it over, put it on the charger in the other room, because it never fails. You're going to get a text message. You're going to get a phone call. Your email is going to go off. Something's going to happen. And so in our busy world, it takes a little bit of sacrifice to meditate on the Word of God. You got to set aside time for it and really concentrate on it. The biblical teaching of meditation is not practiced as much in our fast-paced society, but the benefits of meditation are very significant. The people of the Old Testament incorporated meditation daily. Scripture was as close to their hearts as the air they breathed. And when we focus on Scripture, we focus on God Himself. The end result is a nearness to God and a reprieve from this chaotic and fast-paced society. I don't know about you, but sometimes we need a break from the busyness. I had a conversation with a friend of mine not too long ago. We were just talking about the good old days, I guess. And I can't remember, one of us had made the remark that I'm glad when I was a teenager that we didn't have smartphones and social media and all that. Because a lot of the stuff that I did as a teenager is not public knowledge. Some of y'all are probably happy your teenage years are not public knowledge. It's hard to believe because, you know, I was kind of on that, I was born in the mid-80s, so I was kind of on that cusp of technology. So when I was a teenager, we did have crude cell phones. We didn't have smartphones or anything like that. But I just remember not being in instant contact with people. I mean, it's so hard to imagine that nowadays, but I remember a time where you just couldn't get a hold of people sometimes. Either they didn't have a cell phone, they weren't home to answer their landline. I think I had to explain to Sophia what a phone, we were watching a movie or something, and the phone rang on the wall, and she's like, did people have phones on their walls? I had to explain what a landline was. Yeah. Now, I wasn't old enough that we had to rotate it when we dialed. We had push buttons, but I do remember that. You know, no text messages, no emails, no just instant communication. And we had made the remark that sometimes I wish we could get back to that day. There are some days where I wished I could just turn my phone off completely for the whole day and just not have people bother me. Amen. Because not only are we instantly available, but people now expect you to be instantly available. If you call me or text me at 10 o'clock at night, it better be an emergency or I'm not responding. I mean, it's fine. I'm not ignoring you on purpose, but it's like I'm trying to do better myself about not being instantly available for stuff. But it's now is if somebody texts you at night and you don't answer, then they're going to call you, then they're going to email you, then they're going to send you a message on Facebook. And if they can't get you on Facebook, they'll try Instagram. And it's like all just to ask you something that really is not that important. But it's just become expected where we just have this constant barrage of notifications and communication. And so when we take time and meditate on the Word, it is a break. It's a peaceful time. It should be. And so I believe that when we do that and we do take that break and we do, even if it's just a few minutes a day on your lunch break or a few minutes in the morning or in the evening after the kids have gone to bed or the kids hadn't got up yet, something like that, just that time is, it seems like that's when God speaks to us the most. I love Sunday services, and I know we get a lot out of our preachings, but I can tell you, God has spoke to me more in those just quiet times at my house than He has in sermons, and that we have to make time for that. If somebody will look up Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. All right, in Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. So what is the main purpose and benefit of meditating on God's Word? Keep us on track so that we know, so we know what we know. Have you ever, and I'm guilty of this, probably everybody is, even if you won't admit it, you ever read a page or two in the Bible and then can't remember what you read? You have to go back and reread it because your mind was somewhere else and something like that. So when we're meditating on God's Word, we actually get something out of God's Word. All right. Question number two. In contrast to the ungodly, what does the believer delight in? Ways of God or the law of the Lord, and that would translate as instruction of the Lord. So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier about correction and instruction. We should delight in that. I know we always like to be right. Nobody wants to be wrong, but we should delight in correction from the Word. That means they're getting us on the right track. It's exposing things in our life that need to be changed. Question number three. Scripture compares those meditating on God's word to what? A tree, a fruitful tree. And why do you think he compares it to a fruitful tree? Continues to grow and you're productive. Fruitful trees are productive. A fruit tree that bears no fruit is useless. Absolutely. So if we want to benefit from God's word, then we actually have to meditate on God's word and study God's word. Number four, what are some obstacles that keep us from daily meditating on God's word? Distractions. We already talked about distractions. This one right here, this is probably the biggest distraction we all have. What are some other things? I heard about three hands. I couldn't concentrate on every way. Yeah, life. Life is a big one. There have been times where I have set aside, like, this is going to be my reading time. This is going to be, you know, I'm going to make my coffee, put them on my music, going to read my Bible, and then kid spits up, or you have to go change a diaper, or you know, there's things that happen. Like, life gets in the way sometimes. And so we have to fight through it. Talked about that Sunday. If you want an easy life, pick an easy path, but being a Christian is not one of those. All right, so considering how rich and beautiful God's love is for us, disciples are passionate about connecting with him, and we should find ourselves thinking about God and his word throughout the day. I believe that is something else that goes along with meditation, is it's kind of always on our mind. We may not be physically reading our Bible all day, but we should be reflecting on things. If you read your Bible in the morning, throughout the day, you probably are reflecting on that scripture that you read, or you should be. Is anybody in here, we'll do this kind of a little bit of open discussion, but is anybody here, do you have any specific kind of little, I don't want to say rituals, don't want to make it sound like a ritual, but any little things you do when you go to read your Bible that kind of help you out? Anybody? Aloud? Yeah. I know some people that are like that. Now, I am completely opposite. If I read aloud, it does not work for me at all. But I know people like that. They have to read it out loud. So, yeah, so reading out loud is good. Audio. I know a lot of people. Audio is hard for me to concentrate on. I get distracted with audio. But, again, I don't think there's necessarily like a right or wrong thing. If that's what works for you, that's what you do. If that's what you get out of it, then that's what you need to do. I'm not going to sit up here and say, well, you have to do it exactly like I do it. For me, I like to have instrumental music playing when I read. I don't like silence. I don't know, something about it. I always got to have some kind of background noise on or something. Even when I'm reading it, I don't know, it helps me concentrate, probably my ADD or something like that. Instrumental music helps me out. I put instrumental music on when I read my Bible. Anybody else got any other? Yeah. Okay. Isn't it amazing how, like, we all have these different things, but yet we're all still studying the Word of God? Yes, you had your... That's why I read with a notebook, because if I don't take notes, I don't remember things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm that way. If I am not writing notes when I read the Bible, I will not remember anything that I read. I have to write notes. It's just something in me. I have stacks of notebooks that I filled up. What's that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps me concentrate. I've done that several times. Actually, if I'm not taking a note or something like that, yeah, just literally copying the word down helps me to remember things. Those are all good. I love that. I've been using, there's a really good app called Logos. I use that on my computer. They have it on the iPhone, iPad. I think any kind of phone you can get it. I think you can access it through your web browser too. They have a free version that's pretty good. It has, I think, like a Greek and Hebrew and some commentaries. And then there's, you can literally spend thousands of dollars buying extra books and add-ons and stuff. But I usually read along with that open on my computer or on my iPad or something. So I can easily, like you said, look up words. If there's something I don't understand, I can go to it and look it up. So all those are very, very good. Yeah, I do that too. I have in Logos, you can kind of customize your things. And like, if I pull up just scripture, it will automatically pull up my two favorite translations side by side. That's something that I have learned recently, cross-referencing scriptures. It's amazing when you start doing that. And the program that I was talking about, it will give you cross-references, so it's a little easier to find things. But that was like, when I started doing that, that opened up like all kinds of stuff. It's like, wow, this that's mentioned here in the New Testament is actually referenced in the Old Testament, and it's you find out the Bible is literally connected all throughout. Very, very good stuff. Just some other things. Create a consistent time and place for prayer and meditation. I'm a consistency person. Like, if I don't do it in the morning at a certain time, it's not going to get done. Like, I have to have my routine, very routine oriented on that. A lot of good times is pray before you read the scripture, or either pray immediately after. I like to pray after I read scripture and pray about, you know, what I read. Some people like to do it either way. One of these other suggestions is I already talked about, but read your Bible with a journal. And if you're reading through and you don't understand something, you know, you can write it down and then come back to it later, or you can look it up then. But I always, like I said, I always read my Bible with a notebook present. And I've recently bought a set. It's every book of the Bible in an individual notebook. Huge box set. But so you have the scripture on one side, and then you have a completely blank, like, notebook page on the other side. I forget what site I ordered it from, but they ran them on sale on Black Friday. But you can get them in any translation. But I like things like that. So it keeps your scripture and your notes, you know, right there together. Things like that are always good. As far as meditating, though, what are some things you do throughout the day to kind of keep your mind on God? For me, I like to sometimes, I think I even mentioned this in a sermon recently, is there some days where I just will only listen to worship music. I like to listen to all different kinds of music. I like to listen to podcasts. I like to listen to all different things. But there are some days I just say, you know what? I'm going to set aside that I'm just, throughout the day, if I've got music playing, it's just going to be worship music. Yeah. Right. That's good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think that's really good, that part you said about being intentional, no matter what it is, but setting aside something, a certain time period of the day or a certain time of the day or something where you say, this is where I intentionally focus on God. For some people, it's their commute. I had a friend of mine that his commute is his downtime. I don't know. Commuting stresses me out. It's not downtime for me. But he would always listen to the Bible on the way to work. That was his quiet time. You know, he never listened to anything else but the Bible in the morning. So that's what helped him. Probably would have a better commute if we did do that. The other thing I like to do is going back to notebooks is journals. Anybody keep a prayer journal or anything? I don't keep one consistently, but I have in the past. There are certain things that I've prayed about or prayer requests here at church. I keep like a running list on my phone anytime we have special prayer requests. Anybody do anything like anybody keep journals or anything or just write down inspirations or stuff like that? You do? Anybody else big note takers? As much as I love technology, as much as I use technology, I still prefer pen and paper when taking notes. Just something about, I've literally got stacks of notebooks in a drawer that I filled up over the years with taking notes in church or taking notes at home and stuff like that. Section number four, cultivating a commitment to worship. And if somebody will look up Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 24, and Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 24, and Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. And we will read those in just a minute. Our relationship with God is characterized by devotion or worship to Him. Every part of our life should reflect how He has transformed us and should give honor to Him, like Brother Randolph was saying. We demonstrate this worship in our words to Him, in our decisions, and in our conduct. So basically, everything we do in life throughout our day should reflect Christ. We should reflect Christ out to those around us in everything that we do. Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 24, if someone will read that. All right, in Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 20. All right, so question one, if we have believed on Jesus, what should we do away with? Our old self, our flesh. Probably the hardest part of our walk with God is conquering the flesh every day. All right, question number two, what should we do instead? Be renewed. Okay, be renewed. Put on the likeness of God. We know that we will never be equal to God. We know that we can never live a life perfect like Jesus, but that is the point. That is what we are striving towards, is to be more like Him every day. Question number three, how can we walk wisely and understand the will of the Lord? What was that? Be filled with the Spirit. Scripture said, have a sober mind and be filled with the Spirit. All right, question number four. What are some practical ways or some practical things that we can do and to walk in the ways of Jesus? Absolutely. And that'll get people's attention. You will talk about witnessing when you can still praise God and your world seems like it's falling apart. That gets people's attention. They will want to know, how in the world can you still be positive? How in the world do you have such a good outlook on life with all this stuff going on? So yes, being in praise constantly. Yes, Job, all throughout everything, still praise God. Giving, worship. Fellowshipping with believers. That's a big one. Things that bear good fruit. That's one thing. That's something that, you know, I believe we all work on that. It's part of our daily walk, but we have to examine everything we do throughout the day. And does it honor Christ or does it honor something else? Is it pointing people towards Christ or is it driving people away from Christ? Every interaction we have to think about, how is this affecting my witness to this person? Doesn't mean it's always easy because we encounter difficult people every day. But some part of that transformation is, you know, sometimes you got to hold yourself to a higher standard and not stoop down and say, you know what? As much as I'd like to go off on this person, I'm going to be like Christ and I'm going to let it go. And that's not always easy. Trust me, I'm not going to stand up here and act like I've always done the right thing either. And such were some of you. But that's part of that transformation process. You know, I look back and there's like, you know, some things that used to really bother me don't bother me as bad anymore. So I guess I'm making progress. But, you know, and I've learned over the years too that some things are just not worth getting worked up over. There are things that used to make me really mad and I realize they're really not worth it. So just striving to be more like Christ. The term worship in our culture has really been relegated to a style of music or a portion of the church service, but really worship is much more than that. Worship is something we should do every day throughout the day. Worship is not something we just do on Sunday for three songs and then we go home. I believe there are multiple ways to worship God. I don't think having the right song is like the requirement to worshiping God. I believe you can worship God with no music. And I'll say this, you can quote unquote worship at church, but if your life outside of church does not reflect Christ, are you really worshiping? Or are we just enjoying the music and dancing around and having a good time, but are we really worshiping? Because if we are really worshiping, then our life outside of this building should reflect Christ as well. Like I said, we've kind of confused worship with what we do on Sundays. But if you go back even to the Old Testament, worship took place in the temple and in the home. The worship wasn't relegated to just the temple. It says they worshiped in their homes. So things like prayer, sacrifice, giving, activities that honor God, all of that, all those are forms of worship. I believe that I was talking to some people after church, one church service. I believe things that we do creativity that we have honors God. You think about it, we were created by the Creator. It's in us to build things, to make things, to do things. I believe when we do that kind of stuff, it can honor God. Not everybody is a singer. Not everybody is a musician. So that doesn't mean that we can't worship. We just find another way to honor God. And when I was studying this out, one Bible definition I found is that worship was defined as anything that would be sacrilegious if you did it to somebody other than God. And I thought about that. So any activity that if you did it it would be dishonoring God if you didn't do it towards God. And I was like, that's a pretty good definition of worship. So anything that honors God, anything that points back to Him. It doesn't put the spotlight on us. It puts the spotlight back on Him. We can't use Sunday worship services as an excuse to not worship God throughout the week. Everyone worships in different ways. I think worship in our home looks different than worship in our church. That doesn't mean one's right or one's wrong. It just means that we're in different situations, but we're worshiping God. Worship must always honor God and not ourselves. If anything we are doing is bringing more attention to us than it is to God, then that is not worship. That was the problem with the Pharisees. They were seeking the praise of man. They were not seeking God. They wanted to make sure everybody saw how much money they gave, how loud they prayed, how long they prayed, how much they danced, all this kind of stuff. But they had missed the complete, they had missed the whole purpose of what worship was all about. I found this interesting. In Acts chapter 10, 25 and 26, Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet, but Peter quickly corrected him, saying that he was only a man and not worthy of worship. But right there in that moment, Peter immediately got his attention and said, wait, I'm just a man. You're worshiping the wrong thing. Everything that Peter did, he always pointed back to God. I've been reading through Paul's writings. I'm in Romans right now. And you find all throughout Paul's writings, every time he accomplished something, every time he was praised for something, he always put it back towards God. Hey, it wasn't me. I only accomplished this through God. I was only able to do this great thing because of God. And I believe that's what true worship is all about. So again, before we close out this session and move on to the next, the four spiritual disciplines that we covered, prayer, the word, meditation, and worship, how do these all correlate together? How do all four of these work together? Right. Absolutely. I think that's a great answer, is they're really not separate. They really all work together. Anyone else want to talk about that? How, or maybe in your own life, how does prayer and the word and meditation and worship, what are some examples? How does that all flow together with you? Anybody want to share? Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. If you look at all four of these that we talked about, they all point back towards God and they all point back towards transformation. And it feels like that's something we just haven't been able to get away from in all of our messages we've been preaching this year. But we've got to get back to transformation. I've got to be transformed. I can't ever feel like I have arrived. Well, I've changed enough, or I do enough good things now. Now, there's always something in our life we can be working on. There's always something that needs to be aligned more with God. Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I believe, and if you look at that, it's like, you know, taking that example, how can you truly worship if you don't have prayer? How can you truly meditate if you're not reading the word? You know, they, like I said, you can't really remove one, because then it doesn't work. They all complement each other. They're all part of the same thing. Is there any other, before we move on, any other things anybody would like to share about prayer, word, meditation, or worship? Any? Yes. All right. Distractions are the biggest thing. And I think all these things that we've talked about right here in this section, they all point to taking time with God. It's not, you know, when I get time, it's I'm making time. It's not I'm trying. It's not I'm trying to fit God in. It's I'm revolving my schedule around God. I'm revolving my life around God. Absolutely. All right, we'll move on to the next one. This is section four, or module four, if you are in the workbook here. We probably won't make it all the way through this one. We're going to talk about the benefits of belonging. So, opening discussion here. You don't have to answer these, or I say it, opening discussion, but really just kind of think about this. Do you consider yourself a leader or more of a follower? Neither one is wrong because we need both. If all we have is leaders, then who's going to follow? And if all we have is followers, who's going to lead? You got to have both. And I believe they complement each other. And that's the biggest part of any church community. You have leaders and you have followers. But besides that, what are some benefits to belonging to a community or a body of Christ? Strength in numbers. Support. I like belonging to a church where I know that if I'm going through something, I can call somebody up and have them pray for me. That's comforting. I don't think we were created to be alone. Right. We don't need to be isolated. I believe we are separated from the world, but we are not isolated. It is not good to isolate yourself. That is a dangerous place to be in because we all need each other. There's going to be days where I'm the strong one and somebody needs to lean on me. But then there's going to be days where I need somebody to lean on. And that's what a church community is all about. Any other benefits you would say to belonging to a church or belonging to a body of believers? Iron sharpens iron. We learn a lot. I learn a lot from just having conversations with people in this church. I learn a lot from just having discussions like we've had today, hearing different points of view. I've already got some ideas and things I want to try in my Bible reading now, see if they work for me. You don't get that on your own. You don't get that. Another one I believe is accountability. Accountability is a big one. I know I got people dependent on me. I got to do right. Amen. I know throughout my life, just sometimes knowing I had a responsibility at church is probably the only thing that kept me in the church. I know a lot of people like that. Just knowing that, hey, I got something that I've got to do. I can't lay out of church today because I've got to be there for something. Somebody's counting on me. If someone will look up Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Yes, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Never know what you're volunteering to read. I always hate that whenever you volunteer to read and then you open up and you're like, wow, I got all the hard names or all the hard cities to read. God intended for us to build relationships with one another. Being alone is not an inherent part of human nature. God also has given all of us gifts that are used to unify and strengthen the church body. I will say this. Anybody in here consider themselves introverted? Anybody consider themselves introverted? Anybody extroverted? We're probably split, Tom. I sometimes I feel like I'm an introverted extrovert or extroverted introvert, however that goes. I like my alone time, but then there's also times like I can't stand being by myself. Told you about noise. A lot of times I will go do work at Starbucks or at a coffee shop just because I like the background noise. Somehow it helps me concentrate. I've even actually at home, I've even pulled up. There's on Spotify, you can find coffee shop sounds. And I have played that noise on the kitchen speaker while I'm working or on my computer speakers because it's just something about having that noise. But even though we like our alone time, at some point, everybody, you get tired of being alone. You want to be around people. Anytime I've had to travel or anything like that, like I don't sleep well by myself. Anybody like that? If the house is too quiet, I don't sleep well. Not good for mankind to be alone. I struggle sleeping at deer camp because it's too quiet. Because we're out in the middle of nowhere. Can't stand it. I don't like being alone. I like having somebody around. Plenty of sleep. Once I get to sleep, we'll be asleep, but it takes a while. TV on, kids playing or whatever, I can fall asleep like that on the couch, but you have it deathly quiet and I cannot go to sleep. But invariably, we need leaders and we need followers because at some point, as in the scripture we read, there will be conflict. And the reason there will be conflict is because we are all different. We all have different personalities. We have different cultures. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different families, come from different parts of the world, different parts of the nation. We live in different parts of cities, different parts of the state. We have different interests. There's so many things about us that are different, yet we are all unified when we're in the church. And with any local community of believers, there should be a wide diversity of people. The church should be diversified. If a church is not diversified, I think they've got a problem. We should have diversity in the church. I don't think the church should be made up of everybody that looks the same, acts the same, same demographic, same whatever. We need to be diversified. I believe that represents heaven. But in our diversity, we must be able to also work together. That is something that is very important. Like I said, there are going to be times where we may disagree on the color of the new chairs that we're ordering. But if they don't pick my favorite color, I need to be able to get over that. Right? There's been church splits happen over chairs. Trust me. Yes. If it bothers you that bad, bring a red blanket in and sit in a red chair. Because at the end of the day, we're supposed to love everybody and we're supposed to be unified. So there are times where we have to set aside our differences and set aside our opinions and we look out for the greater good of the church. We look out for the whole of the church. So section number one, the importance of community. Being a part of a church community is an essential element of our spiritual formation. When we are part of such a community, we are grounded in faith and enriched by the relationships built among our church family. If somebody can look up Acts chapter 5, verse 42, this will probably be our last scripture for tonight. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. All right, so where did the disciples preach and teach? House to house, in the temple, pretty much everywhere. We should be able to preach the gospel anywhere. That doesn't mean that I'm going to stand up on table in the break room and scream and holler a Sunday sermon. That doesn't have to be preaching. But we should be willing and able to witness to anybody anywhere at any time. That's what the disciples did. Why do you think the apostles taught not only in the temple, but also in individual homes? Why do you think homes were emphasized? Makes it more personal. They met people where they were at. people feel more comfortable in their home. They didn't wait. You can look at it this way if you want to make it modern. They didn't wait for people to come to church. They took the gospel outside the church. They went to their house and taught the scripture and read the scriptures. Making disciples. That's how you make disciples, through conversation, through hanging out with people, cookouts, inviting people over. Right, right. Sundays around here are evangelistic. We don't have open discussion on Sundays, but we have open discussions in settings like this, and this is what builds discipleship. And so that's what they were doing. How does being part of something counteract some of the negative influences of our culture today? Or how does being a part of the church counteract negative influences from culture today? I always say the people you hang around the most is who you'll become. We should want to hang around with church people more than anything. Yes. Right. Absolutely. Yes. When you look at everything going on in the world, it's like, do I want to be a part of that, or do I want to be a part of what's going on here? I don't know about you guys, but I get along with people in the church more than I do people that are not believers. I've got friends at work, and I've got coworkers and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I never got along with them as well as I did with people in church, because eventually our interests were not going to align. Eventually they were going to invite me out to the bar to drink. And I have to explain, I don't go out to the bar and drink. And then they'll quit asking you to come out there eventually. But there's always going to be something. There's always going to be a point, no matter how good of friends you are with people outside of the church. If you are not aligned in a belief, eventually there's going to be a friction there. Yes. My best friends are people that I met at youth camp, and I would only see them one time a year, or maybe twice a year, once at youth camp, once at youth convention, but I had a closer relationship with them than I did people that I went through 12 years of school with. Because at the end of the day, we were aligned in our beliefs. It's like we couldn't see each other for 6 months or a year, but it was like when we met each other, you know, at youth camp again the following year, it's like we just never left off because we just meshed. We had the Holy Spirit inside of us. You ever been around somebody and it just didn't feel right? Something was just off. There was just a clash of spirits there for some reason. So to me, that's the best thing you can do is be in the church. No matter how bad you're struggling, no matter what you're going through, just make it to church and be around church people. It is amazing how that will boost you up, just having church people in your life. And like I said, eventually the people you're around the most, that's who you're going to become. Regardless of how you feel about it, that's the truth. That's what's going to happen. All right, that is all of our time here. So we'll pick up on this one next, going through church community. Before we close, any questions or comments about anything else from tonight? Anybody have any prayer requests? Brother Roberts, is there any special prayer requests or anything? Okay. Brother Tommy, and we also need to pray for Ashley. She's really struggling right now, still going through some things. Got a little bit of a positive report, but doctors are still trying to figure some stuff out. Please keep her in your prayers. She's very discouraged at the moment. It's just stuff out of control. It's frustrating when there's things that we want to fix and you just can't. There's nothing you can do about it. It's in God's hands. So remember Ashley, Brother Tommy, anybody else got any other prayer requests we need to close out with? Yeah, I'm almost convinced. I try to keep my personal opinions out of it. I don't know if we have enough time to pray for this country anymore. We wouldn't have anything else to pray. We wouldn't have time to pray for anything else. But, you know, and it's like I said Sunday, I try not to get worked up about that stuff because I know the end result is this ain't my home. At the end of the day, whatever happens in this country didn't catch God by surprise. And And I will tell you this, with the world becoming more divided, if the church can portray unity, that will bring about revival. Because people will get tired of the division in the world, and they will say, these people aren't helping me, this isn't helping me, this isn't changing. But somehow y'all in the world, y'all in the church are all friends. Y'all are all part of the body. Right. People are looking for it. And I can guarantee you, like I said Sunday, and I'll stand beside it, there ain't a man in this world that's going to fix this country. Because we are not fighting man. We are fighting spirits. And the world is just as corrupt as it was back in the day in Noah. I know we talk about how the world's getting worse, but honestly, there's not a sin present today that wasn't present back in those days. We just have easier access to it. We just have 24-hour news to hear about it. But all the stuff going on in the world has been going on in the world. And the church will always and needs to always be a light. And so that's, you know, we will pray for this country. I'll pray that as dark as this country gets, the church is a light. That's what I hope, that no matter what happens in this country, that people turn to the church. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Absolutely. All right. Any other ones? If we could also, let's all just stand real quick and we'll just close out in prayer together for these needs.